everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 298. Holy cow. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is This Show Is So Gay. And of course, go on over to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. Holy cow, do we have a fun show for you this week. I must introduce our guests. Rachel and Trixie, the alter egos of this week's guests, Ben and Jeff, are two of the four members of the Kinsey Six, America's favorite dragapella beauty shop quartet, with just the most amazing performance record that includes an off-Broadway show, an extended run in Las Vegas, two feature films, eight albums, appearances in over 40 U.S. states, Canada, Mexico, Europe, Australia. They have been entertaining audiences for over 20 years. The Kinsey Six are the subjects of two feature films, a concert film, which I of course own, I Want to Be a Republican, and a behind-the-scenes documentary, Almost Infamous, chronicling the adventures of the group's extended run at the Las Vegas Hilton. They have a new initiative that they want you to help fund, and you should do it. Ben and Jeff, Rachel and Trixie, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Ken.
It's been 4 years.
It's a pleasure to be on show 298. It sounds like it's on sale.
We're really cheap like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bargain.
That's what we like to think. Everything's a bargain here in Cleveland.
By the way, I do want to quibble with something you said.
Uh-oh.
You said we've been entertaining audiences for over 20 years. While we have been performing for over 20 years, it's really questionable whether we've actually been entertaining anyone.
I'm sorry. The bio portion has already been completed of this segment, so we can't go back and fix that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Well, let's start with Ben and Jeff. Before we even talk to Rachel and Trixie, let's start with Ben and Jeff. Ben, let's start with you. Ben, talk to me about your goals when you first started the Kinsey Six. What were you trying to put out there?
Well, if this were Rachel, she would make some nasty comment about putting out. But this is not Rachel, so I won't. When we started the group, really, this was in the throes of the AIDS epidemic, and when there were very few treatments and things were bleak, and we wanted to bring joy and challenge people and have an amazing time and make people think and make people laugh. It never occurred to us at the time that this would actually become a job. This would be something that people would have us travel to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a dream, but it never occurred to us that anyone would fall for it. And yet they have. It's amazing.
Jeff, how would you say that the Kinsey Six has evolved over the years?
I think that the musical aspect of the group has really changed as we bring in newer members. When the group first started, it was a bunch of friends who were in different professions. A lot of lawyers in it, and who had musical backgrounds but didn't have the kind of training or early professional desires to be musicians or actors.
Yeah.
And as the group has evolved and taken newer members, the newer members, myself included, and now Spencer Brown and Nathan Markin, have a lot of background in performance education and being educated in music. So we bring some different tools into the group. I already was part of an a cappella group when I was in college, and my group won the national competition of collegiate a cappella.
Nice.
And I had a lot of experience in that, and I did musical theater and a lot of acting before I joined the group, and still do it in L.A. And so when I joined the group, I brought that along with me. And Spencer, the same way, he was educated at AMDA in New York City,
mm-hmm.
And he has a great, great background in both singing and dance and acting. He's a triple threat, for real.
Yeah.
And so he brings that into the group. And Nathan Markin as well. He graduated from the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. So he brings in a lot of musical knowledge into the group. And so we have this group that's very different from the one that I joined, or the one that was created 20 years ago. And I think that you can see that there is a difference in the kind of music that we do, or the complexity of the arrangement. But the thread that connects us all is that we're still a fun group. We still have something to say, and we have a lot of fun on stage, and hopefully the audience has a lot of fun along with us.
I think that they do. We have to talk about some career highs, maybe some lows, but I think they've mostly been highs. Ben, what stands out for you as just a proud Kinsey Six moment?
Gosh, I mean, I think having survived this long, honestly, I could, try to pick one moment or another, but the thing to me is just, we were the longest surviving gay performance group that's professional in existence, and we've been doing it for, 21 years now, and the fact that we've managed to be out and political and subversive and impolite and yet manage to keep getting people to see us is something that I'm really proud of, because you can have a moment here, you can have a moment there, but we're not a flash in the pan. We're something that has existed and hopefully will continue to exist if people continue to want to see something that's challenging and not, it's not pre-designed, it's not commercial, we're not something that some producer dreamed up, or we don't try to fit into somebody else's notion of what we should be. We love surprising ourselves, and we love surprising audiences, and whatever people expect is not usually what they find when they come to see us for the first time. And that's what people love about us. We continue to surprise them.
Jeff, what about a moment that you walked off stage and you're like, wow, I can't believe we just played there or did that? What was one of those highs for you?
Well, I was born and raised in San Francisco. So one of the highlights that we had recently was our 20th anniversary show in San Francisco at the Castro Theater. And that was... When I was younger and had been to the Castro Theater, never in my wildest dreams would I be thinking that I would be on the other side of the stage, on the stage itself. And performing there was, it still is something that I can't believe happened to me.
Yeah.
Looking on that stage when I was 18, 19 years old, thinking, wow, that's the place where those people are, and I'm just going to be in the audience and I'm going to enjoy them. And now the tables have turned, and having performed with the Kinseys for several years now, that was just one of many, I have to say. But that's one of my personal highs, is that something that I've been doing professionally now for many years was connected to a childhood event, exploring being out in San Francisco as a young man. The Castro Theater was one of those places where you had to make a pilgrimage to.
Yeah.
And now we've performed there twice. And I still have to pinch myself. Like, this is really a dream come true. And it's better than a dream come true. It's something beyond what I thought it could ever be.
I hesitate to even ask then, so I'll just make Ben do it. Ben, was there one night that just didn't go the way you wanted it to?
Oh, gosh. Only one? I mean, we've performed in some, we're on the radio, some bungholes I could think of one. In New England, we will not name this town, where there were it was a comedy club, but it was advertised as a comedy club. It was really more like a seedy bar, and there were 18 people who had come to see us, and some of the people were wildly drunk, and my nephew was there, and I was just horribly humiliated. You have experiences like that.
Yeah.
And There are no shortage. I could tell you many tales of many things that have not gone as we have planned. But then you get the ones that don't go as planned in a good way, where there's just this amazing chemistry. And, you know, we get this wild mix of people. We get a big mix of gay folks and straight folks. We kind of get a lot of people who I think relate to being outsiders in one way or another. So, you know, we'll perform in Lubbock, Texas, and we'll get the beleaguered liberals of Lubbock, Texas coming to see our show. And I think just the people who feel out of the norm relate to us. Because we're not, you know, we're not like what you would see on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
We're not what people expect of drag. We're definitely not what people expect of a cappella. And we talk about real stuff, but we do it in a funny way.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, I have talked to you two far too long at this point. We have to bring on Rachel and Trixie. Rachel and Trixie, are you ready to join us?
Of course.
I'm always ready, yes.
Trixie, let's start with you. Your first impressions when you first met Rachel.
When I first met Rachel, she struck me as being a girl who just needs a little bit more makeup, and she will feel better. But, you know, she proved me wrong.
Yeah.
She put on that makeup, and she was still scary.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Okay.
It's okay.
You know, she is her own beast, and as long as she stays away from me, it's going to be a good day.
Rachel, first impressions of Trixie?
Well, it was back in the manger when Jesus was born.
Yes, of course.
And you know, and I thought, oh, she really is. She thought the three wise men came to visit her. What can I say? she's always been, as far as she's concerned, she's always been the star. And she's always been wrong.
Okay. Okay. Now, you brought up Christmas.
We love her. Not in the biblical sense, but we do love her.
Occasionally, the biblical sense may or may not happen, but I'll keep my mouth shut about that.
You referenced Christmas. I have to ask, do either of you feel even the least bit bad that you have forever ruined Feliz Navidad for me?
Okay.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. I'm so glad that that happened. But you just don't know how much it could have been more destroyed for you. I think you're hearing a very, very tame version.
Yeah, you know.
If my memory serves me correctly.
I'm a gay Jew from Jersey. To ruin Feliz Navidad is quite impressive.
Thank you. Are we
allowed to say what it has become?
We could go with that.
Sure, go for it, Chick.
When you hear our recording on YouTube, Feliz Navidad becomes this great Rachel solo called Filleting My Dog.
Yes, it did. My gosh.
And it has gone around the YouTube, and several thousand people have loved it or cringed at it. But nevertheless, we get several thousand views of something that I think people will never, ever forget. Yes, filleting my dog.
But this year it turned actually into filleting the dead.
Yes, great.
Because, you know, you got to keep up with the times.
I was so close to making it to episode 300, and I see now that that might not be possible.
Thank you.
Yay. Oh.
So
our philosophy is if you can't do well, then bring other people down.
Great, great.
And then you're better by comparison.
As a college professor, that's what I really try to put out there. Thank you for that. Well, Trixie is the style maker of the group. How would you define the style that Trixie brings to the Kinsey Six?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. I bring style with a capital S, my dear. I am in charge, actually, of making the looks of every girl and making sure that we look beautiful for our audiences. You see, we range from several different looks. We have a holiday look, and we have a 60s look, we have a go-go look, and we also have what I call the look, inspired by Christian Dior. You're going to love us when you see us, all rainbow colored. But I have to say, if Winnie was in charge of our style, we might look a little too let's say, Margaret Thatcher-ish.
Yes.
Which is very practical, but I think our audiences deserve a little bing-bang for their buck.
Oh, yeah.
I think they want to see a little bit of beauty. If Rachel was in charge, we might be a little bit on the messy side, I have to say. And if Trampolina were in charge, we'd be stark naked.
Yeah.
Well, I beg to differ. Trixie, what are the first three letters of style? Sty. Now, I think there is a lot to be said for the fashionable pigsty. And Apple are the fashionable sex pigsty, as you would well know. And so I think that we actually should, you know, should honor the three words of the first three letters of the word style and bring us back to, you know, I mean, basic, we're all pigs. We're all pigs. It's just some of us hide it better than others.
Nice.
You know, Rachel, you're absolutely correct. I have to remember something that we did long ago, back before my racial reassignment surgery, in our beloved show, The Bald Sopranos, when each of us was in charge of our own style. And you chose something that was particularly vivid, where you wore what must have been a tiger skin or lion skin and a bone for your nose.
It was cow.
It was cow.
Oh, it was Holstein cow.
Yes, it was a Jewish cow.
Yes, a very modern take on animal
print.
Actually,
it was Holstein. It was a good neighborhood, not Holstein.
Yes, indeed. Oh, Holstein. It was looking mighty fetching. And the bone. Yeah, kvetching, exactly. And the bone that you used, fresh off the dinosaurs. Oh, gorgeous.
Well, you know, I figure a girl can always use a good bone.
In 298 episodes, this is the least I have ever been needed during a show.
Well, you know, it's funny, because during our shows, we're usually not needed either.
Well, Rachel, I mentioned during the intro that you guys are out there trying to fund an initiative. What do you want folks to contribute to?
A whole lot of money. What do we want to contribute to?
Yes.
And like, why?
Yes.
We are doing, boy, you really should have asked Ben. Let me see if I can find Ben.
Ben.
Oh,
hello, Ben. Come back.
So we've got a Kickstarter campaign, which is to fund us to go to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is the world's largest arts festival. And it's a festival where producers from all over the world go to find unusual and interesting acts, and the kind of acts that we actually are. And so we want to take our madness throughout the world, and it's not just be fun or to be silly, although that is part of it. But, you know, we think that what we do is actually important, and shockingly, hundreds and hundreds of our fans have agreed, and in the first week of our efforts to raise funds from fans and admirers to go to the Fringe Festival, we already reached our target goal, and so now we're on to exciting stretch mark goals. And it's been kind of overwhelming and humbling to see how many people have want to support us and want to see us spread our debauchery and subversiveness throughout the world.
Yeah. You know, we've had so many artists on the show over the years who have tried crowdsource funding, and I'm obsessed with crowdsource funding. It gives audiences, it gives fans, it gives people who appreciate the arts in so many different ways access to the artists and a way to be directly involved in funding their campaigns and funding their efforts. But we've certainly featured so many folks who have tried and unfortunately not even come close to their goals. You guys met your goal in like a week. It was incredible. What do you think happened there? What do you attribute that to?
Well, you know, it pays to be a slut.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and so, Trixie, thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
so
you're welcome. I try to do my best to contribute to the group.
That you did.
But I also think that we have, you know, we mean something to people. People who have seen us, and even a lot of people who haven't seen us but are following us on YouTube, they relate to us. They feel like we're kind of a voice for them. And there really is, for better or worse, there really is nothing else like us in the world. And so, you know, people appreciate that. And
yeah.
It's been, honestly, it has been so, I'm not a very humble person, but I have been humbled by this. It really has been amazing. And it's kind of people's vote. You know, there's so much prefabricated crap out there in terms of popular culture. And I think it's also just people's vote for originality, for you know, people who are just trying to say something that no one else says. And that's been, it's been such a validation. And, you know, one of the things that we'd like to do at this point, apparently what's been happening now that we've done so well is bookers have been finding out about us more, and you know, we're trying to mislead them into thinking that we have an actual fan base. So we're trying to get as many people as we can to contribute, even if it's only $1, to go to the Kickstarter page for the Send to Kinsey 6. What's the page called, Trixie?
The page is called, well, you go to Kinsey6 and just look up Kinsey 6, KinseySicks.
Or
you can go to our website at kinsey6.com, and you can find the Kickstarter page right on the front. There's a link right to it.
And we will link right to it.
Conquer the World's Largest Arts Fest. And the World's Largest Arts Fest is the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
And we will link right to it for everyone. So this is what I'm going to do for you guys. This is what I'm going to do. I was already planning right after this interview to make my pledge of $25. But I'm going to have you guys play a game. I'm going to have you play our little match game here. And if you match 4 of the 6 answers correctly, I will double my pledge to $50.
Oh, my God.
Sounds
good. Able to confer?
You can confer, and you can confer because what I am springing on you, see, what we had originally planned was Jeff had provided so many different answers for these questions, but I was able to get in touch with Winnie today, and Winnie has provided answers, so now neither of you know the correct answers. So, yes, you can confer.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah,
so, 4 out of 6 correct. I'm feeling pretty confident for you, no matter what, a $25 donation, but let's try to make it 50. You ready?
Thank you.
All right, hang on. Ben, should I be talking to you or should I be talking to Rachel? And should you be talking to Jeff or should you be talking to Trixie?
Well, good luck with that.
I think whatever gets us the extra $25.
All right, but I think you better be talking to Jeff because Trixie's just going to be answering herself.
Yeah, so let's say Jeff... Jeff and Ben are going to take this one on. Here we go.
Hey,
okay.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So question number 1. And again, all 6 answers provided by Winnie.
Is this Winnie 1.0 or Winnie 2.0?
Winnie 2.0.
Oh.
I think.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe not. Whichever Winnie answered on Facebook.
Okay, that will be Winnie. That will be Winnie 2.0.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. So your 4 possible answers for each question. Each question, the correct answer is either Rachel, Winnie, Trampolina, or can you guess the last one? It is indeed Trixie. All right, here we go.
I might be Trixie.
Question number 1. Who is the worst driver?
I would say that have to be Trampolina, wouldn't you say?
It would either be Trampolina or Rachel. If Winnie's answering...
Let's go with Trampolina. She's an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Winnie did indeed say it would be Rachel.
No!
That's okay. Oh. That's okay. You're going to get all the rest right. I'm feeling it. And if you don't, I will decrease the standards. So here we go.
I like how you think.
That's what we count on in our audience.
That's what my students count on as well. Here we go. Question number 2. I asked Winnie, who is the best cook?
Winnie would say she was the best cook.
Yes.
That is the correct answer. You have 1 correct. Very good. Very good.
Wait.
Question number 3. I asked Winnie, who has the biggest feet?
The biggest
Trampolina.
Feet.
Oh, yes, Trampolina.
Trampolina.
The correct answer is indeed Trampolina. Very good. We're at number 2. Here we go.
We have a new song about that. We have a song about Trampolina's feet, believe it or not.
See, this is why we do this show. Question number 4. This might be a hard one. We'll see. Question number 4, I asked Winnie, who gets the most emotional the easiest?
Oh, Trampolina.
Trampolina.
The correct answer is indeed Trampolina. You have 3 right.
She did have a crying fit on stage recently.
That's something to work through. Okay. All right. You get 1 more right out of the next 2 questions, and you win. And also, you will win no matter what. Question number 5. Who is most likely to be president?
Winnie.
Oh, wait. I don't know. That's a tough one. It could be Rachel.
As president? Winnie would say Rachel was president? No.
Okay, I'm gonna defer to you, because that way, if you get it right, then I'm happy, and if you get it wrong, I can lord it over you.
But neither of us are right.
The correct answer is indeed Winnie. You have won our game.
Woo-hoo!
All right.
What was question number six?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. If you get question number six right, I will increase it to $75.
Oh, my.
Wow.
I know. And so, here we go. I asked Winnie, who is most likely to get away with a crime?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I think it would have to be Winnie, because she
does get away.
Didn't she have a lifetime sentence in prison?
Oh, right. I think Trixie. Winnie would say Trixie, because she can sleep her way out of a crime.
Okay, no, I'm gonna defer to you again.
Oh, wait. It could be Trampolina, because she's too stupid to think that she even did a crime.
No, I think that's... gosh. Who has not been... I mean, she's going to want to... How many ones was Winnie the winner of? Did she name herself?
Winnie was the best cook.
She was the best cook. Yeah, she was the best cook, and she was most likely to be president.
Well, that's the same thing as getting away from crime.
The emotional and big feet were Trampolina, and the worst driver was...
Right, so you haven't been named for anything, and I think
Trixie hasn't been named for anything, right?
So let's say Trixie.
My mortgage payment is in jeopardy because you got it right. The correct answer is indeed Trixie. Well done.
We are such an effective team, what can I say?
It was very impressive. Well, look, first, listeners, you need to stroll on over to kinsey6.com. The Kickstarter page is right on their homepage. We will link to it as well. You can also stroll on over to Kickstarter, and if you just even type in Kinsey, it comes right up. Also, you can support some country artist named Kinsey, but you should do this one instead and help the Kinsey 6 conquer the world's largest art.
By the way, people have... you know, even if people think they don't want to donate, they should just watch the video, because the video is hilarious. And if people don't have, you know, any money to contribute, we would encourage them to go to the site and just take a look at it. And if they like it, post it on their wall. And maybe they have friends with bad taste and discretionary income.
Nice. There you go. We all do. My hope is that, and I'm going to, you know, I rarely disagree with my guests, but I will openly disagree with you, Ben, because you guys really have been entertaining me for so long. For folks who don't know, who maybe aren't in close to me, I brought you guys to different colleges that I've worked at. I just enjoy what you do so much. There is never enough to be said for artists who are out there with a unique voice, who are doing something different, who are being political, who are challenging the norm, and you guys never, ever cease to make me think and to entertain me. I thank you tremendously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna take Rachel out of the conversation, because Rachel would have nothing gracious to say. But thank you. That's very sweet of you.
Again, everybody, kinsey6.com. Ben and Jeff, Trixie, Rachel, thank you guys so much for everything you do.
Thank you.
Here's a little song I wrote. I'm probably gonna get a frog in my throat. Don't be happy. Worry. Our history of worrying is long and proud. For every silver lining there is a cloud. Don't be happy. Worry. Oi, 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 oi. Something always could go wrong. That's the moral of this song. Something could go wrong. So you have wealth and love and great renown. Someone could burn your shtetl down. Burn your shtetl down. You win a cruise to Kingston Town. The boat could sink and you could drown. Don't be happy.
Blah, 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 blah.
worry. You get a gift, it's a gorgeous tie. You get caught in the elevator, then you'll choke and die. Don't be happy. Don't laugh at having to hear the door dunking. Worry.
A sheep, do you wish?
Life is filled with possibilities, but most of them are tragedies. They'll bring you to your knees. Your son has 100 friends at his bar mitzvah. The only one you'll dance with?
A boy named Christopher.
Don't be happy. A Jewish boy isn't good enough. Worry. Your daughter has a boyfriend to bring home to mama. He probably lives in hiding and his name's Osama. Don't be happy. A Jewish terrorist isn't good enough.
Worry. You know, I worry about you.
I worry that you don't worry enough. If you don't got something to worry about,
you got something to worry about.
If you're creative and you're smart, suffering can be an art. It's not too soon to start. I'm worried my therapist doesn't really like me and he's just pretending because I pay him. I'm worried that we have a president who's fighting a war in a country that he can't spell. I'm worried because Bobby McFerrin didn't really write an end to this song. Just kind of fades out of the CD.
And this ain't a CD.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we have oodles and oodles of time to cover all the latest LGBT news from all over the world. So we're going to get started. We're going to get started in the sci-fi realm of all places to get started. There's a lot of political reports out there. I need a minute before we jump into them because some of them are uber, uber depressing. So let's start with the sci-fi world. According to the sci-fi website Big Shiny Robot, the upcoming novel Lords of the Sith will feature a capable but flawed imperial official named Moff Moors, who, quote, also happens to be a lesbian. So exciting! The character is the first gay figure in the official Star Wars universe. The movies, the television shows, the comics, and the books, all of those items that are approved by Star Wars franchise owner Disney. So according to Shelley Shapiro, the editor of Star Wars books at Random House imprint Del Rey Books, this is the first one. So it's not entirely unprecedented. A previous Star Wars book series and a few video games have featured gay relationships, but those characters aren't considered to be part of the official Star Wars world outlined by Disney last year. It's very exciting. You might think, oh, that does not in any way seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal. So not only for fans of Star Wars, and I'm a little bit behind. I saw the original three, of course, but I did not then see any of the next three. So I got to catch up because that's the kind of thing that I would like. It's crazy that I haven't seen them. But not only for already existing fans of the series and who appreciate LGBT content, you know, people who both identify as LGBT and allies and just people who want to see their lives represented, but of course for new fans. For new fans, this is so big. For youth audiences, I have to tell you, this is one of those things in teaching about LGBT media representation on the college level. It is categorically different 7 years after I started teaching than it is right now, just simply because of the LGBT representation in the media, because it was such a dearth and still not, you know, hugely, hugely amazing, as every annual report from the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation will tell you, but there are so many more LGBT characters, and it makes having these conversations in class, I'm telling you, just in my little microcosm of talking about these things in a college classroom currently in Cleveland, Ohio, it is such a more rich conversation because there is so much more content. So when we see stories like this, that there was a gay character added to the official canon of Star Wars, it really will have a ripple effect. So that's a positive story. We love that positive story. There's more positive stories. I'm going to see how many of these positive ones I find until we have to start talking about Texas, where it's not going so well. Not going so well there in Texas. In Tallahassee, the Republican-dominated Florida House, they did this quietly, but I'm going to amplify it for them. They acknowledged this week that gay people, get this, folks, gay people have the right to adopt children. They supported a bill amendment that removes a gay adoption ban from law. The vote came 5 years after an appeals court ruled that the state's gay adoption ban is unconstitutional. Then-Governor Charlie Crist refused to appeal the decision. While some Republicans voted against the bill's amendment, none spoke out against it, and it was quickly approved. It is part of a larger bill that would create incentives to adopt children in state care. Yeah. No kidding. So many kids out there who need amazing homes. So why would we put something on the books and keep it on the books that would prevent viable parents from providing that loving home? So silly. So silly. House Democratic leader Mark Pafford of West Palm Beach said this, quote, "It's an acknowledgement of different times. The language that was essentially repealed and was put into statute in 1977, when I was born, everybody. Sometimes it's about people and not about politics," end quote. The full bill still does need a House vote, but it has wide support. The Senate and then Governor Rick Scott would also have to approve the bill before the gay adoption language is deleted. Deleted from the law. Republican House Speaker Steve Crisafulli said the vote isn't necessarily an endorsement of current policy that allows gays to adopt. He just wanted to be very clear. He said this, quote, "Philosophically, I've never really been there on that, but I'm somebody who operates under the letter of the law. I recognize that this has been taking place for 5 years, so our bill is going to reflect that." I mean, come on. This is what he said. "Philosophically, I've never really been there on that." I'm kind of honed in on that first word, philosophically. What does that even mean? I mean, you are essentially saying you are not comfortable. You would rather have, let's put it this way, you would rather have kids in the state care system than be with gay people. That's his philosophical opposition. Silly. So silly. Republicans, still on the story, in Florida, Republican Representative Dennis Baxley of Ocala said there were conservative members who quietly said no when the amendment was passed on the voice vote. They said it so quietly that what? They didn't want anybody to hear them? That's so ridiculous to me. He said, quote, "It's a sad acknowledgement that we already lost in the courts on this discussion. I think a mom and a dad are what kids need. A lot of us didn't vote for that amendment today. It was a pretty weak no vote." He said that he was just quiet. That's Republican Representative Dennis Baxley. They just couldn't speak up. I find that very difficult to believe. Or maybe I don't. Maybe we are at that point, even in Florida, where the fight still rages on, that they even know it's not good for them to be voicing such a stance that kids who are in the state care system should not be able to go with viable parents. And by the way, that's parents who step forward and want kids in their home, which includes gay people. It includes gay people. All right, that's it for the positive stories. Now we got to go to some of the other ones. So let's travel on over to Australia. This is a fun little story from Australia. An anti-bullying program that is aimed at informing teachers about prejudice towards LGBT students is, quote, "little more than a gay, lesbian, transgender lifestyle promotion program." End quote. So says conservative Western Australian government backbencher Peter Abbott. Peter Abbott. The West Australian media reports that Abbott, the elder brother to Abbott government minister Eric Abbott and a former pastor in the Christian Reformed Church, gave a private briefing to his Liberal Party colleagues in the Australian Parliament to speak against the Safe Schools program, which that's already been passed. It's going to become available to schools later this year. He said that he believed that most LGBT teenagers grew out of it and highlighted anti-bullying programs he thought would be more appropriate. So apparently people just grow out of bullying, which, by the way, my friend, that's not actually true. That's not actually true. He said this quote, "The militant gay lesbian lobby is trying to get this into our schools to normalize what they consider the LGBT agenda. I think in Australia, most people are quite tolerant. Most people know someone among their relatives or workmates who is a lesbian or gay or whatever." That's his quote, or whatever. "And they don't bat an eyelid. They just accept them as human beings with inherent value, and you treat them with dignity and respect." That's unbelievable, sir. That's not actually true. LGBT people are not treated with dignity and respect across the board in Australia, where there is a huge conservative element, of which you, sir, are also a representative. I don't know. For me, the reason to highlight this, I mean, it's in this just kind of remote part of Australia. The fact that someone can step forward and say, "I am against a safe schools program," it's pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable. But my Australian listeners, lest you think that we are, you know, boxing you into some conservative little corner here, it's barely anything compared to everything that's going down in Texas right now. There is so much going down in Texas right now. So let's start first with the new Texas Republican chairman. Ready? The newly chosen chairman of the Texas Republican Party is unlikely to move the state's conservative needle when it comes to supporting same-sex marriage. Tom Mechler, an Amarillo businessman, he was chosen last Saturday to replace Steve Munisteri, who stepped down to work as a senior advisor for Kentucky Senator Rand Paul's presidential campaign. Well, Tom Mechler made waves last March in an op-ed published in his hometown newspaper in which he said he would cancel his subscription to the Amarillo Globe News if they published a photo of a gay couple kissing. That's what he said. He said he would cancel his subscription. He was being proactive. He was being proactive. So I have to read you some of this op-ed because it's just fascinating. He said this quote. So this was all about, let me give you a little bit of the backstory. So in Amarillo, Texas, there's this town club, and they were not offering the same discounts for family membership to same-sex couples that they were offering to opposite-sex couples, right? So it created this little controversy, but not that much. But this is what Tom Mechler wrote in his op-ed. It's an amazing piece that you have to read to believe. This is, I want to remind you, this is not some random lawmaker in Australia, okay? This is the Texas Republican chairman, and he wrote this in the past year. He wrote, quote, "I watch with dismay the controversy surrounding Amarillo Town Club's family membership policy, which was placed prominently before our community by the Amarillo Globe News, with its front page article showing a picture of two," this is the best, folks, "showing a picture of two angry-looking homosexual women." Angry-looking homosexual women. "The story was also mentioned by a reader in a letter to the editor who believes the business's conduct was shameful." Shameful? "Sometimes I feel like we are living in the Twilight Zone." Again, this is all from Tom Mechler's op-ed. "This fine, respectable business has a policy where it offers a membership discount for families. Otherwise, individuals can purchase separate memberships. How can this be a problem? It is their business and they can have whatever membership policies they want. If someone is on a low-calorie diet and they go to a restaurant that doesn't offer low-calorie meals, that eating establishment is not discriminating against dieters." I have to keep reading this because I'm so fascinated by this. Again, not some random lawmaker in Australia, the Texas Republican chairman. He goes on to write, "We have gone way past the point of reason in the attack by homosexual activists and other liberals who want to manipulate society to serve their purpose. I know a lot of great people, and I'm sure I know many who have a different sexual preference than mine." Let me pause right there. "I know a lot of great people, and I'm sure I know many who have a different sexual preference than mine." That's crazy. So what he's saying is that he doesn't know any out gay people. This is how he justifies that. It's almost like he knows that a reader like me is going to say, "Wait a second, did you just say you don't know any out gay people?" This is how he says that there's justification for the fact that he doesn't know any out gay people. He says this, quote, "I just don't know who they are since I don't ask them about their sexual preference. It is not relevant to my interaction with them." Let me pause right there. This is going to be a call and response because I'm doing this whole op-ed because I'm fascinated by it. So he says, I just don't know who they are. Since I don't ask them about their sexual preference, it is not relevant to my interaction with them. I am calling BS on that, sir. That is not true at all. You have any numbers of interactions throughout your daily life where other people, the people around you, their heterosexuality is relevant to your interaction with them, and it comes up. You ask them about their wives. I have no doubt about that. No doubt about that. But he goes on to say, quote, what I find troubling is the incredible attack that has been launched on free speech. I love this country, and as an American, the Bill of Rights gives me the right to say what I please. One of the problems we are experiencing in our nation is that if you say you believe in the biblical definition of marriage, which I do, or if you express an opinion that liberals determine as being politically incorrect, they will attack you, sometimes viciously, frequently making threats against your life and property. They call your comments and thoughts homophobic or hate speech. Let me pause right there. Yes, if you are making comments that are homophobic or hate speech, I have no doubt that those liberals who have determined that those comments are politically incorrect call your comments and thoughts homophobic or hate speech. I totally agree with you, Tom Mechler, the new Texas Republican chair. I think that that actually happens. No doubt. No doubt. But there's more. Okay, I can't read the whole thing because it's crazy long, but I got to read a little bit more. The U.S. Supreme Court will ultimately decide the fate of homosexual marriage. California, like Texas, has a state constitutional amendment that defined marriage as between one man and one woman, which was approved by 61% of the voters in November of 2008. Period. Let me pause right there. Yes, 2008, I know it doesn't seem that long ago, but the country has shifted tremendously, tremendously in those 7 years. 7 years ago, it wasn't even close to the majority of Americans supported marriage equality. Now it is a majority of Americans that support marriage equality. They even just did a poll, by the way, which you should know, Texas Republican Chair Tom Mechler. They just did a poll that a majority of Republicans would look less favorably on a presidential candidate who did not support marriage equality. These things are important. These things are important. He goes on to say this, quote, I believe that everyone in our country has a right to protection of his or her person and property, and their personal lifestyle choice doesn't make them a bad person. Thank you, sir. Thank you for highlighting that. I also strongly believe that states have a right to decide the issue of marriage. As a final note, if the Amarillo Globe News ever publishes a picture of two men or two women kissing each other, I will cancel my subscription. Look at that. It's a little bit of a threat there. It's a little bit of a threat there. And again, I'm reading the comments right now. I'm looking at them right this very second. It's a lot of folks who are saying, oh, who is this guy? Who is this guy? This guy is just saying these anti-gay things. What is this guy's problem? Yeah, this guy, let me say at the time that he wrote this, he was treasurer of the Republican Party of Texas. But right now, right this very second, he is the Texas Republican chairman. And just to be clear, this is not one of those op-eds that someone wrote, like, you know, 15 years ago, and we're just digging it up now just to, you know, get at him. He wrote this less than a year ago. Wrote it less than a year ago. He can't even see two men kissing. He would cancel his subscription. So there you go. That's one thing happening in Texas. Oh, but there's more. There is more. A Texas lawmaker wants to ban local LGBT ordinances that protect his gay son. This is a little bit nutty. This is in Sugar Land, Texas. A Texas state lawmaker has introduced a bill to prohibit cities from adopting or enforcing non-discrimination ordinances that include protected classes not contained in state law, even though such ordinances protect his gay son from discrimination. The bill aims to invalidate ordinances that bar discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity and expression. The measure from Fort Bend County Republican Rick Miller would undo LGBT protections passed by several Texas cities, including Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, El Paso, Fort Worth, Houston, and Plano. This is what he said, quote, HB 1556 would prevent local governments from expanding business regulations beyond limitations established in state law. Competing and inconsistent local ordinances interfere with economic liberty and discourage business expansion. By promoting instead of restricting business growth, this bill is about job creation and has an improved state and economy, both of which have a direct positive impact on Texas citizens. That's so nutty. Because Miller's son, Beau Miller, is an openly gay Houston attorney and LGBT rights activist who said he was extremely disappointed to learn about his father's bill. He said this, quote, "While I love my dad very much, I'm extremely disappointed by his actions and will do everything I can to prevent that bill or any such legislation from becoming law." I mean, you gotta hope, folks, that people change their minds. I mean, our senator here in Ohio, he changed his stance on marriage equality when his son came out to him. Not so with this Texas lawmaker. So silly. So silly. There is a similar story happening in Oklahoma. Last week, Oklahoma State Senator Joseph Silk made news by defending a bill that he had introduced that would allow Christian business owners to discriminate against gay customers under the guise of protecting religious liberty. He told the New York Times that gay people, quote, don't have a right to be served in every single store. Look at that. This is State Senator in Oklahoma, Joseph Silk. He said gay people don't have a right to be served in every single store. He was a guest on Brian Fisher's radio program where he declared that such legislation is necessary because gay activists do not want people to have freedom. What are you talking about? He said this, quote, "I tell people all the time, the LGBT activists do not want people to have freedom. They do not want people to be able to exercise their religious convictions. They don't at all, and people really don't understand that." After he warned that there is a tremendous amount of spiritual warfare going on in the fight over his legislation, he went on to call upon the church to get vocal in support of this bill before the government shuts them down. Gays, quote, want their behavior condoned and they want their behavior accepted, and the church doesn't understand it's coming to the church. If we continue to lose this, very, very soon the church will not have the right, according to the government, to preach that homosexuality is wrong. That's where this road is going. That's why this is so important. Well, no, sir. We're not actually talking about the church. We are talking here about, you know, people being able to go to any store they want. How does he not see the parallels to the 60s? I don't get it. I don't get it. It's not the only state that this is happening, though, folks. It's happening all over the country. We look at Colorado. There's a growing conflict between religious groups and LGBT rights advocates over punishments in discrimination cases. It played out this week with a Democrat-led committee rejecting Republican proposals aimed at protecting individuals and organizations from complaints. One of these proposals would have prohibited penalties in discrimination cases if the punishment, such as an order to serve same-sex couples, violated the beliefs of the accused. Another measure, written broadly, barred government officials from constraining the exercise of religion. John Monteith, this is in Colorado, he's the spokesman for the gay rights group One Colorado, said that while religious rights are important, quote, that doesn't allow people to pick and choose the laws they want to follow. I mean, this is crazy. This is asking people who are currently violating the law, hey, what are your beliefs? Oh, does that law violate your beliefs? I'm sorry. Then yes, you may absolutely break the law. Our bad. Our bad. That's how nutty it is. That's how nutty it is. You know what, folks? Then take out the laws. Don't create exemptions that will have such a slippery slope effect that ask people who break laws to, you know, hey, what's your belief system? So sorry, didn't mean for that to conflict. How does that work? How does that work? It doesn't work. There is good news. I promise you there is good news. In Utah, of all places, a Mormon church-backed anti-discrimination bill that protects LGBT Utah residents and religious rights received final approval at the state's Republican-controlled legislature on Wednesday. The House of Representatives voted 65-10 to pass the bill. The bill earned a rare endorsement from the Utah-based Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which helped fast-track the measure through the legislature. Governor Gary Herbert, a Republican and member of the church, said he'll sign the bill. Now, this does not go so far as to address whether a business can refuse to serve someone for religious reasons, such as a wedding photographer who objects to photographing a same-sex marriage, which happened there in Utah. It's only limited to housing and employment, but it's out there. It's out there. The Mormon Church said it is fully behind the legislation, which follows the principles set out in its call for laws that balance religious rights and protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. So that's kind of a big deal. LGBT advocates who have been pushing the issue at Utah's legislature for more than a half a dozen years have celebrated the church's endorsement, which has offered the kind of broad support they need to pass an anti-discrimination law in conservative Utah. Utah setting the stage for things going on. I love it. I love that that's coming out of Utah. Some more pretty cool news. President Obama, last week when he gave the Selma anniversary speech, he acknowledged the LGBT rights movement during that speech, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights March in Selma. Delivering his remarks at the Edmund Pettus Bridge, Obama referred to LGBT advocates as, quote, warriors of justice whose work has brought the U.S. closer to its ideal of equality. He said this, quote, this is the president of the United States. I love it. He said, quote, we are the gay Americans whose blood ran on the streets of San Francisco and New York just as blood ran down this bridge. That's as he referred to the gay rights activists of the 1960s and 70s. I love it. So amazing. So amazing. And it's not just the president, but it's the vice president making waves as well. Vice President Joe Biden emphasized the need for federal non-discrimination legislation to a convention of LGBT activists in Washington. Biden was the marquee speaker at the Human Rights Campaign's spring convention. He compared the Selma, Alabama civil rights demonstrations in 1965 to the fight for LGBT rights. He said, quote, the same basic human rights were at stake when John Lewis led that march over that bridge. Thank you. Thank you, Vice President Biden was acknowledging us as well. It's a lot happening. It's a lot happening. I'm going to end on a positive note. We have to end on this positive note because I don't want you to walk away thinking, you know, there's nothing good happening with Republicans out there, because it is happening in Utah. It is. More than 300 veteran Republican lawmakers, operatives, and consultants have filed a friend of the court brief at the Supreme Court. This was just last week in support of same-sex marriage. So, Republicans, there is support. As I said, that poll said people are supporting it more and more, especially on the Republican side. The amicus brief, organized by former Republican National Committee Chairman Ken Mellman, was filed for the four same-sex marriage cases that the court will hear on April 28th that could legalize the unions nationwide. In 2013, Mellman marshaled a similar effort for the case that overturned California's Proposition 8, which had banned same-sex marriage there in California. So, such amazing signatories there on this amicus brief. Among those signatories include former Republican members of the House of Representatives and Senate, and seven current and former governors, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Mark Kirk, they signed on, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, former Utah Governor John Huntsman, also New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. I mean, he says some a little nutty things these days, but he signed on. Retired General Stanley McChrystal, and even, get this, billionaire GOP mega donor David Koch. Now, this is good news. I don't want to say this isn't good news, because I said I was ending on good news. With a little bit of a grain of salt, I mean, Mitt Romney signed on to this a few years ago when he was running for president. So there is a sense that a lot of these people sign on because they realize, hey, it's actually not the popular stance for me to be against this, but I don't freaking care, folks. As long as they're signing on, as long as we're getting these names out there calling for marriage equality, then we can address what people like our buddy there in Texas, the Republican chair of the Texas Party, Tom Mechler, we can address people like him. He is outnumbered. We just got to use our voices. And that, my friends, is always the message of this show. Use your voice. You know how to use it. We want you to use it. You have Trixie and Rachel from the Kinsey Six. They're using their voice. They're singing. They make political comments. They can make you a little bit uncomfortable because, holy cow, can they be a little bit off the cuff and sly and perhaps more than a bit inappropriate? But that's okay, because that's how they use their voice. You're going to stroll on over to Kinsey6.com and learn about them and do whatever it is that you do to use your voice to make a difference for your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. And hey, while you are out there using your voice, while you're out there making a difference, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?